Today's show is sponsored in part by Retronyms. Retronyms makes tools for music creators. Audiocopy is a free app for recording, editing, and sharing music. You can find loops and grooves in any style to fit your taste. Make music whenever, wherever. Tap your inspiration and remember to keep it fresh. To get Audiocopy for free, visit retronyms.com/pod. That's RetroNyms.com/pod.
Giant robots smashing into other giant robots.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Giant Robots Smashing into Other Giant Robots podcast. My name is Ben Orenstein, and I'm here today with Brinkley Warren. Hey, Brinkley.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good, good. So I was saying earlier that this is, in a way, probably the most perfect podcast for you to be on, given your mission and our name. So maybe for those people that have been under a rock or whatnot, haven't been on the internet in a little while, can you kind of give us some background of what's going on and what's about to go down?
Sure. So our company, Megabots, Inc., based out of the San Francisco Bay Area, challenged a Japanese company called Sudobashi Heavy Industries to the world's first giant human-piloted robot duel. And they accepted the challenge back in July, with the one caveat being that, we can't just have like giant paintball projectile weapons in the duel, but we have to actually have melee combat. And so then we accepted that melee combat challenge, and we're right in the middle of a big Kickstarter campaign asking America to be a real patriot and support this Kickstarter so that we can make this the world's first giant robot duel as badass as it can be.
Yeah, it's quite a campaign. The video is awesome and inspiring, and the campaign is very close. So the goal is to raise $500,000. We're at $447,000, so you're knocking on the door.
We're knocking on the door. We still need, we need people's help to push us over that edge. And then it gets really interesting with our stretch goals. So we've got like some amazing people that are lined up to help us build this robot. So like people at NASA, we've got some of the best special effects people, sort of visual effects people from Hollywood who worked on The Matrix, Star Wars, Terminator. And they've committed to actually putting like a super awesome paint job and some new armor plates and on the robot if we hit some of our stretch goals. So, this thing will probably end up being on TV around the world, and we want it to look like a science fiction movie or a video game coming alive. So
totally. And for people that haven't seen it, it's worth like clicking through some links and checking. Like these robots are enormous. Like the Mark II, which is like the current generation, Mark III to be is being built now, I guess. Or is the Mark II with plus upgrades?
Yeah, so it's the Mark II with upgrades.
Okay, gotcha.
Is what we're raising money on Kickstarter for right now.
Yep. So, but it's 12,000 pounds right now, and seats two, which is it's awesome looking.
Yeah, I mean, that's for people that can't see it or that haven't seen it. I mean, there's two humans inside of the cockpit. This thing stands up to be 15 feet tall. It's running a 24-horsepower gas engine, which is powering a 2,500 psi hydraulic system. We've got like 13 degrees of freedom across 20 hydraulic actuators. It's got giant paintball guns on either arm. So it's like a human. So it's a humanoid robot from the waist up. And then we've got it on some basically like some tank treads as the feet. But yeah, this thing is it is a massive beast. And it's the only the second human piloted giant robot in the world after the Japanese team. So
perfect. And so you sort of looked around the world and said, there's actually only one other robot that is doing what we're doing, so we may as well challenge them to a duel to the death.
Yeah, like we had been telling people what we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge video was a way of showing people what it could be. And that really struck a chord, with the American people and just the whole world, honestly. I mean, like 1,100 news articles were written about it. And it became clear. It's like people have watched so many, science fiction movies and read the science fiction books and played these video games. And it's just so clear that people are hungry for this to happen, for this to be the future of sports and for technology to kind of become a really badass part of the future of sports.
Yeah. So in my reading about this, the eventual hope is to create a giant robots sports league.
That's right, yeah.
Aren't you worried that might be too awesome for the world?
Yeah, no. What we envision is something similar to the same feeling that people get when they watch the Olympics, but just combine that with a science fiction superhero movie, and that'll just give you a little taste of what it could be. I mean, imagine these, you're sitting in an arena, You know, you've got like 8 teams, each robot representing their country. You've got the Brazilian robot decked out in green and yellow. You know, you've got the Australian robot, the Japanese robot, the Russian robot. And just imagine their introductions, you know, like as their entire country gets behind them as they come into the battlefield and start taking on these other countries in a, you know, a tournament, a global tournament featuring human piloted giant robots. And the cool thing is that, like, it's not about only the robot. I mean, the robots are amazing pieces of technology, but it's about the pilots and the teams that and the engineers who actually like build these things.
Right.
So that's our ultimate goal is actually building these kits, these like robot kits that empower teams from around the world to field their own giant robots. So that's what we're you know, going to be working on really hard the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's such a crucial decision to have made that there are going to be pilots in the robots, that they're not remote controls. That really changes the feel of the whole thing.
Totally. It's the same as like NASCAR or Formula One or something like this. And it's same as like MechWarrior, you know, mm-hmm. It's like the same as the video games. It's the same as Ripley in Aliens, you know, when she's in the, in the suit during that final scene.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something really special about humans being inside of the robot. And that's like a way to get the best out of the, you know, world of robotics and also get the best out of, you know, what humans can bring to the table. I mean, if you guys watch the DARPA Robotics Challenge, it's sort of hilarious because you see that some of these robots, you know, they try to open a doorknob and they like fall down on their face,
mm-hmm.
like a massive fail. But then you give them like a steel beam to lift or something and they're like can easily do it. So, you know, trying to take like the things that robots do best and keep those elements, but then also, you know, have a human in there to open the freaking doorknob, you know?
Yeah, totally. So. And also just from an excitement point of view, like we like to pretend we're all sophisticated, civilized creatures, but people want to see people in danger and like explosions totally. And things blowing up around other humans. Just at that element of like, wow, you actually might get hurt doing this definitely makes it more exciting.
Totally. It's pushing. I mean, in the end of the day, it's human performance. I mean, that's what sports really are. And so this is cool because it includes engineering in a major way in the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's still about human performance. And that's what we love when we watch the Olympics and get really passionate about, you know, the American hero, you know, taking the victory globally. It's the same feeling of like, wow, this person literally has pushed the limit of what a human can do.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the same way that astronauts go out into space or Olympians, you know, go out onto the, go to the Olympiad and bring glory home, we're trying to tap into some of those same phenomenon, with Megabots.
Yeah. Does willingly putting yourself in the cockpit of a battle robot void your life insurance policy?
No comment on insurance.
Something to be worked out later.
Yeah.
So I've read that the plan is, so during this, as a safety measure during this battle, is to have a big red button in each cockpit. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, yeah. I mean, we want the battle to be sort of as organic as possible. And so, you know, people have always been asking us like, oh, what are the rules going to be? What are the rules going to be? And this is the first one. I mean, this is the first time that anything like this is going to happen. And so we want to be sort of organic with how we approach it in the same way that, you know, maybe boxing probably didn't begin with judges. It probably just began with two dudes in a bar drinking and getting into a fight and then everybody in the bar surrounding them and being like, okay, like no glass.
Right.
So we want it to be, you know, raw, super entertaining. And so the, you know, if a robot falls over, you know, and stops working, then people will know that the other robot won and the one that's on the ground lost. So we sort of want that. And then the big red button is really like the ultimate safety kind of tap out button. So, I mean, our robot is hopefully going to have a 8-foot long chainsaw on one of the arms. Like we have no idea what, Tsudobashi and the Japanese squad is going to put on their robot for melee weapons, but you can only imagine like looking at Gundam, what kinds of, you know, swords or who knows what kind of like weapons they're going to have. And so you can imagine that these two robots go up against each other. You know, if the chainsaw breaches the cockpit, we can't have the first event like this to go down in history as being just an extreme blood fest.
Right.
We want to get as close as we possibly can to that extreme.
Yep.
But we also have to have that tap out button, that ability to ultimately keep the team safe if the chainsaw, you know, is 3 feet away from your face.
Right. So each team will have a button in their cockpit that will stop both robots.
Yeah, something like that. You know, a lot of the details we're still working through with Tsudobashi. But, you know, for instance, I was talking to somebody from one of my buddies who works at NASA. And he was telling me, you know, he's like, yeah, you can't put the button anywhere on the structure. It should probably be like on the person's suit. And that's because if the cockpit gets compromised and like the chainsaw breaches the cockpit and hits the button, then what are you going to do?
Mm. Yeah.
So just key learnings like that from people who have already done something similar, whether that be, you know, NASCAR or astronauts. So there's still a lot of things, you know, details to work out, but yeah, they'll be the equivalent of a tap out button.
Mm-hmm. So is the goal to do this about a year from now?
Yeah, to do it about 1 year from now in a neutral territory. So we're working on that. We've gotten some interest from foreign countries, which is fascinating.
Yeah.
Then our ultimate goal would be to put it on an aircraft carrier right there in the middle of the Pacific Ocean.
International waters.
International waters, yeah.
No rules governing the robot battle.
Yeah, you know, not sure if you need insurance on the high seas, you know what I mean?
I see. Interesting. And now we'd like to take a second to thank the sponsor of today's podcast, Media Temple. For years, Media Temple's grid service has been the web hosting choice of more designers, developers, and creative professionals than any other platform. That's because a single grid account can host anything from your portfolio site to 100 different client projects. And the grid is ready for anything. Hundreds of servers work together to keep your sites online, even if you suddenly hit the front page of Reddit. We have a special discount for Giant Robots listeners. If you use promo code ROBOT25, all caps, you get 25% off web hosting. So go to mediatemple.net and enter your promo code on signup. So you guys did a AMA on Reddit, and one of the questions was, what's the biggest hurdle technically on these upgrades that you're thinking about making? And the response was that the balance control system is one of the hardest things to do. Why is that so hard?
Well, I mean, this is what we witnessed at the DARPA Robotics Challenge. I mean, when you've got 12,000 pounds and you've got 13 degrees of freedom, you know, moving in all different directions, it becomes a huge software problem. I mean, it's an algorithm problem, really, to be able to dynamically take in data about what's happening in the environment and then adjust this gigantic physical thing so that, you know, you're able to respond, you know, immediately within milliseconds to any changes. And so, you know, balance is a huge thing. And what's so fascinating about this, as I was personally like learning more about digging into the history of sports and the history of the Olympics and all of these kinds of things, I mean, balance is something that's important in almost every combat sport, whether it be wrestling and something like karate, or, you know, Krav Maga, I mean, any sort of martial art, so much of it is about balance and keeping your enemy, you know, off balance, and then while also maintaining your balance. And so because it's this robot problem, which is, you know, a huge aspect of what the DARPA Robotics Challenge was all about, was that balance and control problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so taking that and then also looking at it from the view of martial arts and, you know, the importance of balance there. I mean, that's why it's such a hard problem. And we are working with IHMC on Team USA. They're a research group out of Florida, and they actually came in second at the DARPA Robotics Challenge. And so they've been working on these types of balance, you know, balancing algorithms for over 10 years. And so we're actually working with them to keep it upright and to keep it balanced. And what's really interesting as well is that the bigger the robot gets, the easier it is to balance.
Hmm.
So it's kind of a counterintuitive thing, but it's like holding a pencil on the tip of your finger and trying to balance it versus holding a yardstick on the tip of your finger and trying to balance it.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah, it's fascinating when something is really, really hard for robots or software or machines that we just do unthinkingly.
Totally.
But like your brain is responding to so many inputs and making so many minor corrections all the time really fast, but it happens without any conscious thought. So it seems like it should just be easy.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of evolution that's gotten us to this point, but it does give you an appreciation for other creatures as well. I mean, not only humans and all the stuff that humans are doing automatically just to be here, but, you know, look at like insects. A lot of robotics is about like building robots so that they're biomorphic. I mean, some of our best lessons come from the natural world in terms of, biomimicry and making the future of human vehicles more like what we see in nature.
So in the robot, well, there are two pilot seats, right?
Yeah. So there's a gunner sitting in the front seat. They're going to be controlling like joysticks, just like a video game. Mm-hmm. They're going to have like head mounted displays with cameras. You know, these robots are probably going to have about 100 cameras potentially in each one.
Wow.
So you can imagine that the gunner's up in the front with these joysticks controlling the arms, the arm cannons, the melee weapons. And they're the ones that are going to be literally just doing battle. Like they're going to be pulling the trigger, engaging the chainsaw. And then you've got the guy in the back of the cockpit who's driving. And that person is controlling, the track system. Which direction is the robot going? How fast is it going in that direction? You know, turning, moving backwards during the defensive melee battle. So, you know, if they're charging hard with the sword, we got to be able to dodge that so that we don't take a direct hit. And so that's, all the things that the driver is going to be doing. And even with these two people in the cockpit, we think that it's very quickly they're running out of the amount of tasks that they're actually able to do and to comprehend in the moment in the cockpit. So each team, we've decided there'll probably be at least three people on both, both sides. Mm-hmm. And so that third person, we haven't really decided yet, but I could totally see that person basically being like a comms person. Similar to the head of the pit crew in NASCAR or Formula One. They're going to be monitoring the systems. They're going to be telling them, oh my gosh, like we just lost, six cameras on the right side.
Mm-hmm.
We just lost like two hydraulic actuators in the left arm. Also like talking through strategy, being outside of the robot and being able to see the battlefield and sort of help the team maneuver and sort of deal with what the Japanese team is bringing to the fight.
I wonder if it's going to be hard to watch your creation get destroyed, even though
we're so excited about it. Both sides, like the Tsudobashi and us at Megabots, we are united in our passion for number one, making this happen. This is something that we both just grew up wanting to see happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this awesome thing of uniting culture behind that. And then the other thing is robot carnage. I mean, that's what people want to see. As long as we give people a spectacle that is, living up to some of our dreams and some of the imagination behind, what a giant robot battle can be, as long as we live up to some of that carnage, we're going to be all right.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So one of the things I noticed on your Kickstarter is you had a $10,000 level for being able to be in the pit crew. You sold it out. I don't know how fast, but it sold out. You sold five of those right off the bat and then opened it up again with five more, also sold out. Have you thought about doing another round of that or opening up even something higher? Like, were you surprised by how that happened?
We were kind of surprised, but at the same time, not really surprised. What we cannot do is sell tickets to this fight because we don't know where it's going to be. If it ends up being on an aircraft carrier, we can't be selling 2,000 tickets to something and then them not go. So,
right.
We stayed away from that a lot in our Kickstarter. But I mean, that was, that's an obvious thought. People are always asking us, like, why don't you just sell a ticket? I'd pay, like thousands of dollars to be at the first fight. So we just can't do that. And so we were thinking, like, how can we bring people in and just have this super remarkable experience? And then it became, almost obvious because we're like, crap, like we're going to actually need like help doing a lot of this stuff. And so people that are high rollers that have $10,000 mm-hmm. and have always dreamed of, working with robots and having this amazing experience, I think it makes a lot of sense for them. I mean, some of the guys are entrepreneurs, they're tech guys. Like one of the guys on our pit crew is the former founder of Lycos, the search engine from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually bought it for he and his wife.
Nice.
And so, you've got guys like that that just are, super into this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it's at 10K is that actually Kickstarter doesn't allow us to charge anything more than that.
Oh, so interesting. Well, that's too bad.
Yes. Yeah, so, well, I can maybe mention here that we do have a contest that's going to be launching next week,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be giving away another slot in the pit crew. So that's going to be worth $10,000, and it's going to be basically like a hashtag or like photo contest on Instagram, you know, Twitter, and Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you don't have $10,000, but you want a chance to have like this just once in a lifetime experience, you know, I would definitely recommend that you check out megabots.com, check out Megabots Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
and look out for that contest.
Cool. Nice. So you have some interesting advisors working with you on this project, like Grant Imahara from Mythbusters.
Totally. Yeah, he's been awesome. We had dinner with him a couple of nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
And just such a nice guy, such a positive person, great ideas, great experience. I mean, a lot of people don't know, but he actually competed on the original BattleBots.
Hmm.
So he's been building robots for combat since the 90s. And that was before, you know, Mythbusters sort of blew up like it did. And then he had a heck of a run at Mythbusters, you know, being that guy who, you know, helps to build things, you know, and engineer things. He's got an engineering degree.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be at Industrial Light and Magic, making technology for entertainment. And mm-hmm. so just like a perfect match with Grant.
Totally. This is such a fun concept. I feel like it must be fairly easy to get people on board with being involved somehow.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you would think that it would be. A lot of these folks, you know, came to us. We did reach out to some of them. But it's definitely, I mean, whenever you have a giant robot, it helps you get the meeting.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. So nothing like 12,000 pounds walking up to your office and saying, hey, do you have 5 minutes?
Yeah, exactly. Now we need just everyday people to do it. I mean, right now on Kickstarter, we have, I think, 6,000 backers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're 90% funded, but we just, I mean, if everybody just gives like $5 or $10, you know, gets a t-shirt, you know, it's going to really add up. And so that's what we're focused on now, because we do believe that people are going to want to see this. I mean, when the time comes and, you know, the Olympics are going on NBC, on television, and then all of a sudden, right around that same time, you've got the world's first giant robot battle happening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are going to, trust me, you're going to want to have helped make it happen. And it, I mean, you will go down in history, like your name will be on a Kickstarter campaign that will have launched a new global sport for the first time. Not only that, it features giant robots. So that's what we're focused on now, is not really these popular people necessarily, but just everyday people, just everyday Americans, honestly.
Yeah. I love there's a bit on the Kickstarter page under the risks and challenges section for this project, which is, the main risk of doing this project is dying in glorious combat or potentially becoming a national disgrace. The main risk of not doing this project is living in shame and definitely becoming a national disgrace.
That's our logic.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, I know you guys are busy, probably on a media blitz trying to make this Kickstarter thing hit the goal. So I'm going to let you go and get on to your next thing. But it's been awesome talking with you.
Yeah, really appreciate it, guys. And megabots.com, support your American team, and let's go Megabots.
Very cool. Today's show is produced and edited by Tom Obarski. If you'd like to access the show notes for this episode, you can go to giantrobots.fm/162. Thanks for listening.